Chapter 1. YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki insults creators in a mind-blowing article.
I can't even... You wrote an article about free speech, put it behind a paywall on the website that caused the adpocalypse. I can't think of a more in... You might be thinking, this actually hurts my brain to explain. Susan Wojcicki, the CEO of YouTube, wrote in, provided content for, placed behind a paywall, the Wall Street Journal, which is responsible for the adpocalypse, destroying thousands of creators and their and causing financial ruin. Behind a paywall on the Wall Street Journal, you put this article about free speech? Let's get into it. You know, I often talk about how thankful I really am, and I mean it when I say this, for the opportunity that YouTube as a platform has given me as a creator. You, the viewer, allowing me into your life in 10-minute segments multiple times a day is one of the most humbling and amazing things that has ever happened to me, and I'm so very thankful for all of you. The problem is, as a platform, YouTube continues to let us down as creators, outright betray us, provide zero information on policy changes, ban people outright with no explanation, allow channels to be hacked and removed and deleted without protecting creators, allowing for systematic deplatforming by the mainstream media for channels that they don't like because they are taking their jobs. They took our jobs. This is something that I don't think Susan Wojcicki will ever understand, because when she hangs out with YouTubers, it's people like James Charles, not people like you or me, not regular people grinding away every day. Sure, these are not fears that somebody, say, for example, that makes cat videos might have about the future of their channels. But if you talk about anything that may be considered controversial, which, by the way, is a moving target, you live with this fear. It's the number one reason I have a Subscribestar, and I'm so thankful for the people that back me there. Because without that, I would be stressing constantly about, you know, the future of my employees. You know, it's not just me for this channel. I have somebody who handles all my sponsorships and ad reads, and Maggie, Ben, my thumbnails, and Sean does all my meme intros, not to mention other people behind the scenes that help me keep my day job going so I can dedicate more time to this. Watching Susan Wojcicki write a paywalled article about free speech, on the website responsible for the adpocalypse, something that caused mental anguish and financial ruin for thousands of creators on this platform, to write a paywalled article about free speech on the website that caused the adpocalypse would seem like something only a monster would do. You might think to yourself, there's no way that the CEO of YouTube would write a paywalled article on the Wall Street Journal, the website responsible for the adpocalypse, essentially helping the Wall Street Journal profit. But she did. The topic of the video, the topic of the article, even more hilarious, given that it's about free speech and corporate responsibility coexisting online. Look, I don't believe in corporate responsibility as they define it. You know what the corporation's responsibility is? Very clear. Maximize profit to the shareholders. That's what corporations are supposed to do. In short, make money. But Susan Wojcicki just tweeted out, by the way, I even ratioed her as CEO of YouTube. I see important issues around free expression and responsibility every day. Today in the Wall Street Journal, I wrote about three principles that should guide discussions about the regulation of online speech. You can't talk about having free speech principles and then regulation of online speech in the same sentence, but she did it. She actually pulled off a paid article in the Wall Street Journal about free speech, and then talks about regulating that speech and corporations' responsibilities to regulate that speech. I can't stress to you enough how mind-blowing this is. How absolutely mind-boggling this would be to exist, but it does. Some of the replies. Really? The Wall Street Journal? Susan is working with YouTube's enemy? WTF, here's some black guy. Oh, cool. The people that caused Adpocalypse. If this ain't sleeping with the enemy, I don't know what is. What? I mean, are you talking to the people who literally called the Adpocalypse in the first place? Not just talking to them, helping profit for them. Because this article is behind a paywall. And when it's behind a paywall, that means that you drive profit for them. Luckily, archive.is exists. And I can find an archived version of this article because I want to make sure that I view the article in a place that keeps it in its original form. Free speech and corporate responsibility can coexist online. I mean, I guess. But again, what do you define as corporate responsibility? Because we know that YouTube defines corporate responsibility as it would feel like, you know, squashing any conversation, say, for example, around what's going on with people's health out there right now. Even though the CDC is allowed to change their mind a million times, private citizens or even doctors can't because they are systematically removed or banned from the platform. This is not limited to that type of stuff. We could talk about how, you know, certain political opinions are silenced or, you know, shadow banned on this platform. It's ridiculous. When I was growing up, every time I wrote a letter to my grandfather, I worried it might be censored. Why? My father had fled communist Poland for the U.S., but my grandfather was unable to escape, and I still lived behind the Iron Curtain. I learned very young that it can be dangerous when government reaches too far. But that seems so counterproductive. This just feels, as a creator, Susan, like the biggest slap in the face I can possibly imagine. As CEO of YouTube, I grapple every day with the issues related to free expression and responsibility. Companies, civil society, and governments are facing unprecedented challenges in sorting these complicated questions, determining where to draw the lines of speech in the 21st century. There shouldn't be any. Policymakers around the world are introducing regulatory proposals and argue that too much content is left up on platforms, while others say too much is taken down. At YouTube, we're working to protect our community while enabling new and diverse voices to break through. Voices of your choice, right? Voices of the correct political opinions. We all remember, you know, the random van life channel that got freaking 10 million subscribers overnight that people were saying that they were automatically subscribed to and suddenly was getting recommended, thrown down everybody's throats. We all remember the all sorts of shenanigans. I don't think there's any doubt in creators' minds that that whoever's voices are allowed to shine through, this is a hand-picked group of people. It's something that you yourself have admitted, that the trending page, for example, is curated content, meaning that you handpick what's actually on trending, which is hilarious because it actually is the anti-definition of trending. You're taking something that is inorganic and saying that it's important when the very definition of trending means that it's popular by organic reasons. You know, it's ridiculous. YouTube has always had community guidelines that set the rules of the road. We remove content that could cause real harm. Fine. Copyright infringement, also fine. Dangerous pranks. Yeah, you can make the argument for that at least, or at least age gating them. I wouldn't have much of a problem if you age gated them, because you don't want kids like shipping themselves in luggage or whatever, like these pranksters are doing. But, you know, at the same time, we embrace the inherent complexity and messiness of the internet. Stripping away everything that's controversial could silence important voices and ideas. Well, I'm glad you're saying that, Susan, but golly, it sure feels like that's not like the actual way that things get done. And maybe you'd be open to a sit down. And I realize that I'm coming across harsh in this video, but you know, Susan, I don't see you spending any time with creators that have ever had anything negative to say about the platform. You know, in our little creator dashboard, I see you doing these fluff interviews with long, you know, with creators like James Charles, which, by the way, has his own problems, you know, somebody else you did, I forget, not that long ago. Why don't you sit down and talk to somebody who has real concerns about the platform. It doesn't have to be me, although I would absolutely love to just have 15 minutes of your time to talk about what it's like to be a creator who feels like they're on the outside looking in, and you know what it feels like to see somebody like James promoted and getting your time when this dude has, let's just say, a very suspicious history and reason to be concerned. I don't understand how you thought doing this article was a good idea. I mean, you understand that when Adpocalypse happened, it ruined people's lives, right? There are probably people out there, and I don't mean to be hyperbolic, but just statistically, there are probably people that ended their lives over the Adpocalypse. Like, you understand that, right? So as a creator, when I see you helping the Wall Street Journal profit by giving handwriting, by the way, not giving an interview too, but actually providing literal content for the New York Times, it's extremely infuriating as a creator on your platform, a platform that I'm so very thankful for. But seriously, Susan, come on, you gotta be better than this.
Chapter 2. Killstream's Ethan Ralph captures on footage the arrest of the infamous Chris Chan.
All right, I'm going to cover this because so many of you are demanding it. A video that I know YouTube won't like, and I'm not going to like it. And I think that there will be things you hear in this video that you cannot unhear. And it really has gone from a comedy to a tragedy as one of the internet's earliest and most famous lolcows has done something that is just unspeakable. Something that I can't really go into detail without wanting to claw my own eyes out or ears out. After hearing the official audio, after seeing the breaking news, the actual footage as obtained by Ethan Ralph of their detainment, it's so messed up. This is essentially a person who, in my opinion, is, you know, has mental issues, and I don't know. All I can say is, when you're going to browse around on the internet, be safe about it. If you want to research what's going on with this person, you should definitely use a VPN. In fact, if you're not using a VPN already, please do consider, after this video, picking one up. I use private internet access. I use it to watch streaming content that isn't available in the United States. I use it to protect my data. I use it to browse anonymously and not allow companies like Amazon to steal my data and profit from it. 2021, if you're not using a VPN, I recommend you use the one I do, private internet access, and I have a huge discount offer in the pinned comment below. Get a VPN. Just, you know. All right, let's get into this. It's really messed up. Who is Chris Chan? Well, Chris, who likes to be referred to as Miss Christine, has stayed away from social media for a while now. The last time Chris uploaded a video on social media was 3 days ago. Unlike their Twitter, Chris is fairly active on YouTube and has been updating their followers about their life. Chris is the creator and author of Sonic Chew and Rose Chew series. Apart from referring to themselves as Chris or Christine, the creator also goes by Christopher and Ricardo. As per Facebook, they went to, none of this is important. At the moment, it's unclear who their partner is. Now, how do you get here? Well, Barb is Chris's mother and has made several appearances on their YouTube channel. Barb has also interacted with the followers, by the way, still not banned off YouTube. In one of the videos, Barb shows off her blanket collection, while in another, it is revealed that she would be selling signed photos and posters on eBay. On May 10th, Chris also wished Barb a happy Mother's Day by sharing a series of pictures of her on Facebook. Chris captioned the Pope, "Hi, Mom. Remember everyone, regardless of the situation, your mom, mother, motherly figure, had a life and past of her own back in the day before you came along." Sure. I think that's great. You can see the views on this channel are not, you know, not tiny. If you go to the this message, here's the latest video. I see some holes in the wall there. 1.9 thousand upvotes, 2.9 thousand downvotes. Good news, Chris, they won't have G5 in prison. Hey, Chris, I was wondering what the punishment is. You know, it's this dude is well known on the internet. Okay. They made a claim that, and I heard the audio. The audio is disturbing. You know, over the years, Christiane has been known for questionable and concerning antics. Their weird web comics became the least disturbing thing Chan was known for. A seemingly mentally ill individual continued to share their odd behavior online. This included burning down their own house, pepper spraying a GameStop employee, and drinking their own seed. But the latest news has shocked even the most hardcore internet users. Hey, Christiane's trending. Man, that takes me back. I wonder if they made a new Sonic Chew comic yet, or if it's another... Holy, what in the absolute GDMF? Christiane did what? Well, on July 30th, an audio recording and text conversation leaked that showed Chan claiming to have, I don't know, carnally known his own mother who has dementia. The text message series goes into great detail about Chan's decision to do this to the mother as a form of bonding. In the text, Chan even states that their mother asked them to stop, but Chan reassured her friend that her mother, Barb, was getting used to it. Barb had been featured in Chan's past videos. One time, she showed off her blanket collection, wrote a long Facebook post about how she loves them. And then... perhaps the end of the saga is internet personality Chris Chan has, been detained with the appropriate charges. The 39-year-old artist, blogger, and YouTube star, whose official name is I Don't Care, in a statement issued in Newsweek, the sheriff said they're being held in jail on one count of grossness awaiting arraignment. And there'll be other charges for sure. And as far as I know, I'm heard it's without bond. They're, of course, well-known for Sonic the Hedgehog and Pokemon crossover comic called Sonic Chew, which is the subject of numerous artworks since 2004. They also created the character Rose Chew, Sonic Chew's love interest in the series. A Christian, known as Christian Christopher, Chris Chan, and so forth among their fans. This is gross. They referred to it like their souls were bonding. Ultimately, what's messed up here is that this person has clear medical issues, mental issues. And while I understand, I can't help but, just feel bad for him. I never really got into the lolcow mentality. Heck, I even interviewed DSP on this channel and was inundated with thousands of dislikes for not just being a complete jerk to the guy. Is DSP a lolcow? Yeah. But you still watch him. Wings of Redemption. Is he a lolcow? Yeah. But people still watch him. So pardon me if, I'm not going to go out of my way to... I mean, these dudes don't exactly have great lives. And why would I want to pile on top of them just for the lulls? It's just not, there'll be people upset with this video that I didn't go harder. Look, this dude is he's going to probably have as hard a time in lockup as anyone has ever had. I can't imagine what they're going to do to this guy in there. And to be honest, if these claims are correct, and not just some weird, demented LARP, it'd be hard for me to feel bad for him. But this is somebody who has deep mental issues. It's just well documented on the internet. The reason for the worldwide attention is his admission as he bonds his dementia-riddled mother. Chan called their frequent romp a progress, claiming that she was glad she could help her out and help her mother's memory problems by doing exactly just the most messed up thing. Chan gets into the details of taking, you know, whatever. It's just gross. I don't even want to read it. Just like seriously detailed. You don't even want to read it. I mean, you know, we cuddle, then this impresses me more. I literally feel our souls bonding and coming together as one during this time. It feels so good when that happens. And we talk a good while as well before she heads back upstairs. I have been ending her meditation tracks to stimulate her brain, editing, and bring some youth the results to the show. Most splendidly, I'm so proud of her. To prove the romp does have a positive effect on Barb's memory, Chan also tells her alleged confidant how her mother is able to recall anecdotes involving her own daddy when she was 2 years old. She has had memory problems from beforehand. He literally thinks he's fixing her memory by doing this. It's just sick. I hope this is the end of the saga. I take no joy in like, I know a lot of people are like, oh my God, ha, this guy did something crazy. But now we're talking about like a real victim here. This dude's mom, if what the claims are true, has been going through something just undescribably messed up. And it's not funny anymore for me. Lock this dude up. Lock this person up, get them medical or, you know, mental help. And this poor woman, elderly woman, is going to need help too, since they probably need someone to take care of them. It's just, oh my Lord, here's another crazy story. It's gross. I'm never covering this guy again. I hope he rots in prison if it's true what he did. And if it isn't, if it's some weird LARP, then they need to be clearly locked up in a mental institution, in my opinion. It's just messed up. I don't want to talk about it anymore. There you go. I covered it for you. Now, at least if you don't have a VPN, go get private internet access. You know, protect yourself and, you know, protect. I can't. This video broke me. I hope you enjoyed it.
Chapter 3. Feminists rage at Disney over the Scarlett Johansson lawsuit. Kevin Feige has something to say.
Things are absolutely heating up in the Scarlett Johansson versus Disney signing on. What's her name? Now I forget. Another woman signed on. Why can't I think of her name right now? Whatever. I'm sure it'll come up. But feminists are getting involved, as well as calling to task people like Mark Ruffalo and Robert Downey Jr. for not saying enough. This via Cosmic Book News. Feminists accuse Disney of gendered attack against Scarlett Johansson. Following Scarlett Johansson's filing a lawsuit against Disney over the Disney Plus streaming release of Black Widow, now the feminists are accusing it of a gendered attack against the actress. Hollywood's female-led groups, including Women in Film, LA Reframe, and Time's Up, have come to defend Scarlett following Disney's official reply to the lawsuit. Feminist groups released a joint statement accusing Disney of a gendered character attack against Scarlett Johansson. Quote, "While we take no position on the business issues and the litigation between Scarlett and the Walt Disney Company, we stand firmly against Disney's recent statement, which attempts to characterize Johansson as insensitive or selfish for defending her contractual business rights." I actually 100% agree with this part. It was really scummy for them to be like, "Oh, but why would you want more money during a worldwide health crisis? Oh, that's just, oh, Disney, we do so good. We don't have any more money for you." But it wasn't gendered. It was just a character attack. They write, "This gendered attack has no place in business dispute and contributes to an environment in which women and girls are perceived as less able than men to protect their own interests without facing ad hominem criticism. The groups have taken issue with Disney publicly spoke out against Johansson with mention of the payment she received, where it looks as if Johansson is selfish in filing the lawsuit, as Johansson received $20 million plus added compensation from the premier access of Black Widow. It is no secret that Disney... People.com obtained the statement from Johansson's attorney. It's no secret that Disney is releasing films like Black Widow directly on a Disney Plus to increase subscribers and thereby boost their company stock price. We know we've gone through the statement. It also has been reported that the head of Marvel, Kevin Feige, is angry and embarrassed over the matter. We're going to get to that in a second. Black Widow is a current worldwide box office of $322 million and $60 million from Disney Plus. Let's call it $400 million. It lost money. You can see Kevin Feige is mad. Feige is a company man and prone to corporate showdowns or shouting matches, but I'm told he's angry and embarrassed, Bellany reports. He lobbied Disney against the day and date plan for Black Widow, preferring the big screen exclusivity and not wanting to upset his talent. Furthermore, the report states that when the stuff hit the fan, the movie started tanking and Johansson's team threatened litigation, Kevin Feige tried to get Disney to make things right with her. I would argue that that's probably true. Is reported that head of Marvel, Kevin Feige, is angry and embarrassed over the whole situation. Regarding Feige, the info comes from The Hollywood Reporter's email newsletter. He also, Emma Stone and Emily Blunt also involved. But this, not enough. Scarlett Johansson's team has now fired back. It began Thursday when Johansson filed the suit and Disney tried to character assassinate her. Scarlett has been on Disney's partner on 9 movies, which have earned Disney and its shareholders billions, Lord continued. The company included her salary in the press statement in an attempt to weaponize her success as an artist and businesswoman, as if it were something she should be ashamed of. Scarlett is extremely proud of her work that she and the other actors, writers, directors, producers, and Marvel creative team have been a part of for well over a decade. The suit was filed as a result of Disney's decision to knowingly violate Scarlett's contract. They have very deliberately moved the revenue streams and profits to the Disney Plus side of the company, leaving an artistic and financial partners out of the new equation. That's pure and simple. Disney's direct attack on her character and all else they implied is beneath the company that many of us in the creative community have worked with successfully for decades. I agree that this was I'm no Scarlett Johansson fan, especially after her most recent statements, but that was really scummy for them. Again, to invoke, the health situation going on around the world right now in order to gain some sort of perceived jockeying position over Disney, over Scarlett, was really scummy. He writes, this is certainly going to be a long battle, though the results could prove dramatic for the entertainment industry at large. Well, if you have Emma Stone and Emily Blunt joining this, you're going to have, $100 million, $200 million tied up in lawsuits potentially that I think they'll probably lose, because if the contracts really do say like, hey, you're owed a percentage based on box office, and then you change the distribution model. Obviously, I'm reducing it, boiling it down to the very, very, minimum of it. But quite frankly, it feels like that would be some sort of violation. But also, it feels like you would have some sort of make right if you're a company. I mean, wouldn't you get out in front of this and say, like, hey, that this is in the contract. You know that your actors and actresses have performance incentives in their contract. You think just changing it's like, well, we're just going to change it. We're going to bleed $100 million off the box office numbers so we don't have to pay your commission on that. It seems insane to me. But now it's rolling over to Robert Downey Jr., Mark Ruffalo. As Scarlett Johansson sues Disney, the silence of Robert Downey Jr., Mark Ruffalo, and Chris Evans speak volumes. Scarlett Johansson recently sued Disney, the parent company of Marvel Studios, for choosing the simultaneous release for a standalone Black Widow film. The Wall Street Journal, which broke the story, reports that ScarJo lost as much as $50 million in bonuses due to the concurrent release. I don't believe that that's true. I believe that, without seeing the actual contract, which will now come out in court. But I think the reality is she probably would have earned $50 million if the movie did $1 billion. The movie lost money. I'm guessing that we're talking about maybe $5 to $10 million here, which any one of us would happily take. But I just, you know, I don't think it's anywhere near $50 million in actual losses. But they're going to have to go to court and prove that, well, this movie would have done $600, $700 million if not for the simultaneous release. I suppose they could point to the Fast and Furious, which I think made close to $700 million. Is that, I think it's close to that. But who knows? You know, actor Elliot Page has said on Twitter that Pratt should address the accusations. Hold on a second. Whatever the truth is, strange to see not a single Marvel actor come to Johansson's defense. While Marvel Studios boss Kevin Feige said to be angry and embarrassed per The Hollywood Reporter, even he has not spoken about it publicly. Why would they? Why is there always this call for other people to put their jobs at risk? For most of us, the nail that sticks out gets hammered down. So why are you wanting these people to get fired? It seems crazy to me. In stark contrast to what happened when Guardians of the Galaxy star Chris Pratt was surrounded by claims that he followed a church that was mean. You know, soon after the claims came to light, bigwigs like Robert Downey Jr., Mark Ruffalo, Zoe Saldana, Jeremy Renner, and James Gunn all expressed their support for Pratt. The director who directed Pratt in two Guardians of the Galaxy movies, sorry, I'm just finding out about this nonsense. Chris Pratt is the best dude in the world. I've spent hours and hours sharing my deepest truths with this man. As he with me, please stop assuming what he believes politically or in any other way just because he's a Christian. Downey Jr. was more impassioned with his defense, writing on Instagram as a caption of the photo of them both. What a world. The sinless are casting stones at my brother, Chris Pratt, a real Christian who lives by the principle, has never demonstrated anything but positivity and gratitude, and he just married into a family that makes space for civil discourse and just plain facts, insists on service at the highest value. If you take issue with Chris, I've got a novel idea. Delete your social media accounts, sit down with your own defects of character, work on them, and celebrate your humaneness. They did come out in his defense, but the whole Scarlet thing is just a few days, you know, kind of mature. And on top of that, do they know anything about the contract negotiations? I suppose you could tweet something very simple like, hey, I stand with my fellow actors and actresses and getting what they're deserved, getting paid what they're owed. But, you know, Robert Downey Jr.'s dad just died. I'm sure he's probably dealing with that as opposed to worried about social media craziness. And again, one of these is a legal suit and the other is was a public smear campaign. I think they are notably different. I don't think it's unrealistic to expect other Hollywood people to come out and speak out in her defense. But I think it's funny that we're turning on them now and saying like, oh, well, they haven't said anything. They must hate women. That's what the implication is, right? Gerard Butler, apparently in response to ScarJo's lawsuit, has also sued the producers of Olympus Has Fallen, contending that he has owned at least $10 million from the global box office success of the movie. Johansson is one of the world's highest paid actors in the world. But this affects every single person that works in the film industry. Whatever transpires, one thing is certain, that Johansson's colleagues in the Marvel movies are failing her by not speaking out. Maybe they're doing stuff behind the scenes, though. It's difficult to know. But it's going to be interesting to see. I hope this all gets messy because, well, it's going to be great for all of us to watch.
Chapter 4. Things keep getting worse for Blizzard. They lose billions in the span of 72 brutal hours.
Wouldn't be a day that ends with Y if there weren't an update to the absolute debacle that's going on with Blizzard and Activision. Most specifically, it would appear most of the mud is on Blizzard. In fact, the stock in the past 30 days has gone down 11.81%. You're talking about billions of dollars. Billions of dollars erased in company value since the lawsuit broke, the normal curve of things. But if you look at the real graph here, the drop on July 26th from $90 down to $84, and then today it's down to $83, continues to go down. This really started with the lawsuit breaking and then everybody coming out and then, you know, Blizzard essentially completely bungling the response to it. Nobody wants any part of it right now. I mean, there's absolute hilarity. Blizzard recruiters allegedly asked Job Seeker if she, quote, liked being penetrated at job fair in 2015. Now, here's the thing. I must defend Blizzard on this, or at least clarify this. Not maybe defend, but context matters, and you're starting to see some bait out there. Because what this actually was at a hacking conference in which they were looking to hire somebody who does pen testing, which is, you know, penetration testing. It's a cybersecurity job. And the person who was being interviewed actually was wearing a t-shirt that said like penetration expert or something like that. It's obviously like a, you know, double entendre. Should the interviewer have asked that question? No, definitely not. But I mean, it's like, is that on the same level as, you know, bathroom cameras? No, it isn't. So there's, you know, the media is definitely pouncing on this, but they're also taking like literally every single example of anything bad that's ever happened at the company and then like, you know, kind of amping it up to 11. You can see what really happened at that BlizzCon panel, according to the woman in the video. This was a panel where she asked for ugly women in game, right? Not ugly men, but ugly women. Xantia doesn't spend much time on Twitter. So she learned that California was suing Activision Blizzard for years of bad behavior a couple days late. She had no idea she had become the face of discussions about Blizzard's questionable past. She didn't really. She says it felt like the meme of Leonardo DiCaprio pointing at the TV screen. It's really weird seeing the whole thing getting press coverage for a question that I asked 11 years ago. Xantia, who preferred to go by her, World of Warcraft handle, protect her privacy. That's fair. In the Kotaku, in a phone interview. It was just surreal. The clip of an all-male panel, we talked about it. You know, for some, it was emblematic of, you know, the rotten culture at the heart of Blizzard. I mean, it was not exactly a great faith question, I don't think. You know, she essentially said, like, well, you know, there are plenty of unattractive female characters in World of Warcraft. I don't really understand that argument. Maybe that's changed over the years now, and it used to be, you know, different. That's possible. 11 years ago, you know, my memory is not what it used to be. She writes, it's hard to have your voice heard when there are so many guys setting the tone, Xantia said. I think that's one of the reasons why the video has gone viral. It just exemplifies so much of what's wrong with the industry at large. There is me being utterly dismissed by a panel of men who run the company, and at the same time having a small group of women in the audience cheer, and then get immediately drowned out by men booing. Xantia has been playing the game for as long as she can, playing games for as long as she can remember. Yes, we know she's a real gamer woman, okay? I don't like this gamer purity testing crap. If she was at BlizzCon, she's probably a big fan of the game. If she got in line to ask questions, she's probably a big fan of the game. I'm not going to really spend any time questioning her credentials. You can see how Blizzard's reputation collapsed in just 3 years, from free speech scandals to massive layoffs to a discrimination lawsuit. A history of Blizzard's recent controversies and major departures is via Steven Messner over at PC Gamer. I mean, I think, you know, you went from this position in World of Warcraft where, as a player, for me, the struggle to get Classic made, and then the, like, it actually coming out, not Vanilla, but Classic coming out, and then seeing it, like, destroyed by the same old Blizzard cash shop garbage and character boosting and all this other stuff, like, it was the ultimate highs and lows of, like, my gaming experiences. Like, nothing in video games is really as, like, as important as what happens, like, between me and my pets or my family or whatever the case is. But although that, I admit that Keanu Reeves moment kind of was a pretty big deal. It was a pretty big moment. But, you know, what started of this really was back in 2018, a lot of players didn't like BFA. The first half of 2018 was relatively quiet for Blizzard, but shortly after BFA launched in August, World of Warcraft players were up in arms early in its beta. Players began complaining about the Azerite armor being too confusing and unrewarding. I agree. But it seemed like Blizzard wasn't making any positive adjustments based on the feedback. Then, of course, we have Mark Morhaime stepping down after 27 years. you know, the thing about Mike, you know, he is beloved by many. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but let's not forget that, you know, it's based on what people have told me directly, you know, he knew about this stuff going on. He knew about it and just quietly left the company. Then, of course, Diablo Immortal's surprise announcement outrages fans. The whole, do you not have phones, certain thing. Then Blizzard ends Heroes of the Storm's pro scene, which I don't necessarily, I mean, look, not every game can go on forever. It's definitely a thing, but then in early January, former Blizzard employer Julian Murillo Kular, posted a lengthy statement on Twitter detailing all sorts of bad behavior that he had to deal with while working on Hearthstone Esports starting in 2016. Then he claimed that other employees repeitedly made out of line comments and harassed him, and any attempts to resolve the issue with HR and management were largely ignored. He also claimed that he was retaliated against for speaking out and even received negative performance reviews that described him as, quote, not a team player, difficult to work with. Shortly later, he said he began suffering from anxiety and depression and was placed on medical leave in 2017. I mean, people react to things in different ways. And, you know, if every time you show up for work, you have to get ground down by some, you know, a-holes that you work for, I can understand how that would, you know, affect people. Then, of course, Activision Blizzard lays off 800 people. Yeah, and that was at a time in which they were having record profits. So it was like, you know, it was a horrible optics thing. And, you know, that is part of the culture and working in games. There is a lot of, you know, catch and release for large groups of people as they ramp up the release of games. And then they, you know, have to drop a bunch at the end. You know, once project ends, that happens. It sucks. I mean, most people have been laid off. I've been laid off. It's one of the worst feelings. It's really hard to describe unless you've never been laid off. Then Frank Pierce stepped down. Then, of course, the Hearthstone thing. This is a pretty good list. Then free speech protests take over BlizzCon. By the way, I paid for all the flags and stuff there. Then, of course, Warcraft 3 Reforged. Remember the Warcraft 3 refunded? Hearthstone Pro claims to have been blacklisted by Blizzard after his wife was laid off. Alex Afrasabi, or whatever his name is, quietly leaves Blizzard. Yeah, after everything came out. You know, Blizzard employees share a spreadsheet documenting salaries and protest of low pay. Activision hires controversial Trump-Bush-era government officials. Jeff Kaplan quits. Activision Blizzard is sued for discrimination. I mean, this is a lot to overcome, you know, for a company that is not really capable of overcoming it. And then, like, you know, what is perhaps the most hilarious part of this is Blizzard has banned /spit. And why? Because people were using it to make fun of people that bought store mounts. So inside the game, you know, you have certain emotes that you can do. But, like, they're doing that, but not blocking, like, the N-word. You can see, you know, on July 30th, WoW players in the game's public test room noticed that they were no longer able to use the /spit emote and target other players. Literally, all the chat prompt would say is X character spits on Y character. No animations, nothing like that. So it was surprising to some people that you could no longer do it or use it on other players. Another WoW Classic mind trick points out a player, on the above official Warcraft forum, /spit has been around since day one in Azeroth. The emote would be old enough to drive if it were a person. Now it can't be used on other human players at all anymore. This seems like a minor gripe as a player of the popular MMO streamer Asmongold's chat informed him. They may have made it so you can't spit on another player in chat, but amazingly, you're still able to still call them a racial slur. They removed /spit, but they didn't remove the N-word. Asmongold would go on. I guess Blizzard was worried that people would be afraid to buy the mount, while another added, they found a spit emote too problematic and toxic because people are using it against players who spent money in their cash shop. And that's probably true. That's probably true, because there is a contingent of the WoW community that, you know, if you spend money in WoW's cash shop, like you're like single-handedly the person that's ruining the game. I have a little softer approach on it, especially mounts, but I get it. I understand where he's coming from, but this is just yet another hilarious embarrassment for Blizzard, and they just may need a total reorganization at this point.
Chapter 5. Johnny Depp has won a rare victory in an attempt to discover whether his ex-wife Amber Heard is lying.
Some amazing news for fans of Johnny Depp and for detractors, I suppose, of Amber Heard. The reality here is that Hollywood is never going to provide any modicum of justice for Johnny Depp, regardless of what is revealed through his various lawsuits. However, I still think it's worth it for him to continue to pursue things to bring the truth to light. Since Jump Street, I have said and conceded that I am sure that both sides of this relationship were messed up. I am sure that both of these people were garbage partners to each other. I am sure that they absolutely needed to get a divorce. However, only one of them have suffered any real-world consequences, and that is, of course, Johnny Depp, as we've seen him basically cut from Pirates of the Caribbean. We've seen him removed from J.K. Rowling's Fantastic Beasts franchise. This guy may never work in Hollywood again because of the desperate ravings of a woman who has already been locked up once for raising her hands to a spouse. But somehow, it's impossible to believe that she would ever have done that to Johnny Depp. And the fans organized and they worked hard to bring this information to light. From their divorce mediation meetings, there were bombshell audio clips released where she openly admitted raising her hands to him and essentially gaslighting him and calling him a baby for caring about it. And nobody cared, because of the double standard in Hollywood and the double standard on social media in terms of when it comes to men being on the receiving end of domestic situations, nobody cares. People out there think it's funny when a man, you know, they don't think that men actually have to deal with this type of thing, but they do. And they suffer in silence because their male friends make fun of them, and because the authorities that they call to protect them make fun of them. And in many cases, things get reversed around on them like they did in Johnny Depp. So people urged producers to remove her from the film because of this specific behavior, but they never did, and they don't care. Aquaman 2 producer Amber Heard won't be fired over fan pressure. Good. Here's the thing, people. I want you to hear me here, okay? Do not watch this movie. If you are outraged by this, if you think that Amber Heard, who is someone who has raised her hands to Johnny and who has done it before to her other girlfriend or wife or whatever, and has lied under oath, if you think this is a problem, then do not pay to see this movie. Do not pay to stream it. Do not pay to see it in theater. Don't justify it as a hate watch. Don't watch it. Because I think we're in a period of a reckoning, a time of a reckoning for Hollywood, where people are more conscious with their money and people are less likely to take whatever particular inconveniences or risks they may place on going to the theater over staying at home and streaming it. They're less and less and less interested in doing these things, especially for garbage human beings. We just saw, even Black Widow, which is a Marvel movie, Scarlett Johansson, while, you know, she made a couple of kind of silly remarks recently, that movie is going to lose money. It's going to lose money for Marvel. I never thought I would see a day where a Marvel movie lost money. But it's going to. It's already out of the theaters, and it lost money. You see, there may be a lot of fish in the sea, but there's only one Amber Heard. The actress will not be fired from the upcoming DC flick Aquaman 2, despite ongoing pressure from ex-husband Johnny Depp's fans. Now, I will also say, I don't think if Johnny Depp being terminated from his film roles for the similar behavior is not okay, then neither would her firing. I understand. All I want is consistency. So let's say hypothetically, you don't fire Amber, then you should give Johnny his jobs back, right? That's all I'm saying. They both clearly participated in bad behavior in that relationship. So why is only one of them fired? That's where my interest starts and stops. I know a lot of, like, there are a lot of Johnny Depp, like, super fans or whatever the case may be. I'm not one of those. I just want equal treatment. Now, of course, the movie made $1.14 billion back in 2008 in the height of the Cape era. No superhero film's going to make over $1 billion anymore. It's not going to happen. He writes, listen, one is not unaware of what's going on Twitterverse, but that doesn't mean you have to react to it or take it as gospel to accede to their wishes. Safran added, you have to do what you feel is right for the film, and that's really where we landed on it. The official title for the action-packed water-filled sequel is Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. The film is currently in production and scheduled for theatrical release December 16th, 2022, and I'll be here, hopefully, to cover its box office failure, because people will remember. Every time the studio tweets about this movie, someone's going to be there to remind them that this happened. Every time somebody has a Facebook post about this movie, people are going to be there to remind them how terrible Amber is. And now, a massive win for Johnny. You could see here, Johnny Depp scores a rare victory over Amber Heard in $7 million settlement pledge. Now, we already know that the money that she swore she was going to give to sick kids in California never happened. And this was part of, you know, her whole premise was that she wasn't doing any of this for money. She was going to donate all the money, but she didn't donate that money. We found that out, much to her chagrin. Now the ACLU has been trying to protect her by not releasing whether or not she donated the money. I think we all know that she didn't. You see, he won a rare victory. He attempts to discover whether his ex carried out a promised donation of $7 million in the settlement. The Aquaman star pledged to donate money to the American Civil Liberties Union and Children's Hospital of LA after the couple split. However, Depp's lawyer has argued that that promised donation was calculated and manipulative lie that tipped the scales against Johnny from the very beginning. He also alleged that the Children's Hospital of LA wrote to Depp's business advisor in 2019 to inform them that Heard had not made any payments. A New York judge has now partially granted a petition by Depp's legal team, which will force the ACLU to release documents that confirm whether or not Heard followed through on her pledge. He didn't. She didn't. And all of this is going to be used now to reopen the libel case, because her entire, like, I'm just an innocent bystander in all of this has been bolstered by the fact that she's gone out of her way to say, well, I don't care about the money. I'm going to donate it to sick kids. I'm not a gold digger. Even the judge said that, I believe in the UK, something like, well, what do you mean she's a gold digger? She donated the money, but she never donated that money. So I think that, you know, I knew that the UK libel case was going to be an unlikely win, but he's still got like a $50 million case here in the United States that, you know, finding that, you know, she hasn't in fact donated that money would probably be an interesting piece of information. Judge Andrew Nichols cited the gesture while deciding on the libel case in the Sun's favor, commenting that the donation of $7 million to charity is hardly the act one would expect of a gold digger. But she never did it. That's my assumption. If she had done it, here's the thing. If she had done it, she would have just put the receipts out there, right? Oh, there's question about whether or not I donated the money. Boom. Here's a screenshot of the receipt. Suck it, haters. But she never did that. Lawyers from the Sun published rejected arguments of Depp's lawyers at the time, saying Heard did not lie about the donations because she was pledging to pay the sums over 10 years. She had made a number of payments already in pursuance of these pledges, said Adams Wolanski, representing News Group Papers. Depp also lost a bid to overturn the high court ruling back in March. I knew he would lose that too. The petition, which attracted millions of signatures, now have accused Heard of systematic crusade to ruin Depp in Hollywood. I wouldn't disagree with that, but I don't think Amber's that smart. I don't think it has to be systemic. Sorry, my cat's being really demanding for attention today. I don't think that you have to be some sort of diabolical genius to wreck a man's reputation in Hollywood. All you have to do is make a claim. You don't even have to back it up with any evidence, because as we saw, you know, in this particular case, How many, I mean, I ask you, how many of Amber's lies were just, you know, openly exposed? How many of them? All of them? It sure felt like it. Remember the, we had this row in the house and our beautiful home is destroyed by Johnny in a rage. And then the body cam footage comes out and there's not a single piece of damage in the house. Lie. Confirmed lie. I donated the money to sick kids in LA. Lie. Confirmed lie. I donated money to the ACLU. We're going to find out that that was a lie. So exactly why does this woman keep getting the benefit of the doubt? Well, because woman. That's why. I mean, nobody's going to speak up on Johnny's behalf. And the guy loves his fans, but he isn't perfect. He's a Hollywood multimillionaire who does what he wants and partakes in all the things that you would expect him to. He's not exactly a role model, but all I want and all most people want is some fair treatment here. And if Aquaman 2 has to suffer for it, I'm comfortable with that. I look forward to the 15 to 20%, 30% Rotten Tomatoes score. I look forward to every tweet getting completely demolished by people. I look for Aquaman turning off replies to all their tweets and getting quote tweeted into oblivion, because that's exactly how this is going to play out. Mark my words. I hope you enjoyed this video. We'll talk to you again real soon.